It's the My Michelle Live Podcast.
My Michelle Live, Health Watch. She's writing a prescription for hope. Here's Michelle.
Hey, glad you could join me today. It is Health Watch, and today we're going to help you feel your best at any age. Health Watch today is about, well, turning back the hands of time. How do you feel better, look better, feel younger, look younger? And we're taking it on from some angles you may not have thought of before. How can oral health keep your smile young and bright? And how can oral health actually help you in other areas of your life and body to slow down that aging process? We'll talk about why I take Calitrin, and it's a fountain of youth in the bottle. I am not kidding you. There are worse things than walking around and having someone mistake your age for 20 years younger. Oh, that's glorious. And we'll talk with our buddy Matt Peel. He is a specialist in staying away or turning back the hands of time in your body, the aches, the pains that can happen at any age. Yeah, that's right. We are going to make you better than you ever have before. It's a crazy thing every day. Don't let me depress you, but every day you're aging. It seems as though through lockdown and through some of the changes that we've experienced over the last year, aging is an issue that people in their 30s are starting to feel the effects of. What's going on? I'll tell you, we have some answers for you at any age to kind of turn back the hands of time, to not just accept some of the old adages of, well, you're just getting older. It's like magic, but it's not. And we have the man to take it on with us. Matt Peel is with us. He's the author of Athlete in the Game of Life. He has courses online that can help you turn back those chronic pain and aging problems. And he's an all-around good guy. So welcome with me, Matt. Matt Peel, hey.
How you doing, Michelle? Good morning. How are you?
Good. You're out there in one of my favorite cities on the planet, or near New Orleans, Louisiana, right? Beautiful sunshine. You guys can go out every day. I'm in the other corner of the United States where, you know, if it's a sunny day, you better go and grab it. Vitamin D, getting out, enjoying the day. That's great. But it's funny, as you get older, as we talk about anti-aging today, as you get older, it's harder to enjoy the everyday things that you've loved all of your life. And that's one of, and then it's like a perpetual vicious cycle that takes you into less and less activity.
Absolutely correct. And I think a lot of it has to do with confidence, right? And your self-confidence in going out and doing your daily activity. Maybe there's an injury. Maybe you just don't feel comfortable because your balance is off, or you had an injury. Maybe you slipped and tripped and you fell in your house or walk into your car. And so that's kind of shaking you a little bit. And so you don't really feel like getting out and doing those things, which is somewhat understandable, but we still got to get outside and enjoy the rest of our lives. We've lost a year of our life, right? And you can't get that back. You can get money back, you get cars back, you can get your clothes back, but you can't get time back. So we need to go out there and capitalize on what we have left.
So what I found through my research too is that people as young as 30 are starting to feel effects of aging. What is that about?
I think that's, again, it's a mental health. And there's a lot that's finally coming out now. If you're on LinkedIn, you see a lot of articles that are talking about mental health and what isolation has done. You know, human beings are social animals, and not just social like going to the bar, but social as in raising kids, you know, families, herds, packs, things like that. That's how mammals operate. So when we lose that contact and that social contact, even though people say, well, I really enjoy working from home. Well, that may be great, but you still need human interaction. And so you just, you feel old, you feel like you're losing time, and that's not a fun feeling to have.
Right. So we today wanted to kind of delve into how we really can turn back some of the hands of time. Now, a lot of us may be experiencing some of the pains that come from sitting, and in your course, you talk about how sitting is more damaging. I mean, you were just talking about, yeah, you could slip and fall, you can hit your head, you can, you know, have an accident that can cause damage. But you seem to indicate that just sitting all day behind our computer is causing damage too.
It is causing damage, and it's causing damage because the length of time that you're sitting just compounds that. So when you take that 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day, and that's been happening a lot more during the pandemic, people are more connected and they're at work longer and they're not taking the breaks because maybe they even feel guilty. And there's pressure, but there's not necessarily overt pressure, but maybe subtle pressure from, like, why are you not responding? I know you're not going in the office. Why are you not responding to my messages, to my phone calls, to my emails, to all these things, you know, right now, immediately? So there becomes a lot of pressure put on.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So you stay totally connected to your computer and your devices. Oh, and Matt, you're not going to believe this. This blew me away when we were talking sports on Friday. Brent Baker coaches. He was saying that as the kids came back to get coached and everything's opening up here in our state, he said, I didn't recognize the kids. They had gained weight. Yes, I know, right? They gained weight. He said they can't do some of the and sometimes the parents had to drag them, you know, kicking and screaming away from their devices and just to get them back moving. I don't know what kind of year we're going to have this year, but step one, get these little puppies moving again. So I said 30, but I mean, let's just be real. The effects of being sedentary affects everybody in every single age group. And I guess maybe I don't remember what it's like to be, you know, like 15, but can that cause pain for kids too?
Absolutely. The human body works the same, regardless of your age or regardless of your gender, you male or female, whatever. It doesn't matter. How your muscles work are exactly the same. You know, our hormones are different, whether we're male or female, but as far as the biology, muscle contractions, movement is still the same. And neuroplasticity, that's something I actually talk about in my book. And that's a big area that kids lack, or not going by not playing outside, not having physical education, not having physical activity. The mechanism that boosts and builds brain cells, which is cardiovascular activity, is gone. So they're not getting smarter. They're not learning at the pace that they did when they had at least some type of recess or regular physical activity going on in their lives. Because let's face it, when you're home, social distancing or physical distancing, whatever you call it, here on the computer, you're not getting it. And if there's not something out there to push and prod these kids to do so, you're right. Moms and dads aren't going to structure that and monitor that. Just get your schoolwork done. Get your schoolwork done. And then hopefully you go outside and play. But that's a huge part, and there's been studies that have put out there. I know Colorado is a big proponent of it. They're one of the healthiest states in the country. The positive effects that physical activity has on academic performance. Those kids that are more physically active make better grades. Those that aren't their grades are not as good. And it goes to the aging part too. We can reteach that old dog new tricks, and I do that every day with some of my clients, and then with my book, you know, it talks about that. So it's important.
And Matt's book is Athlete in the Game of Life. We have links on mymichellelive.com where you can purchase the book. You talk about, and we just want to get to you. We've set the stage, and I want to get to what the hope is that you help people with every day. And that's stretching and strengthening, which is really cool, because in our society, when we have pain, when we have chronic pain, when we feel the achiness, the soreness, the stiffness, all of those things, which are not only part of life, but seem to be part of aging, what do? Well, we go to the doctor, we take pain medication. One thing that we don't even realize is that we can take too much pain medication, over-the-counter pain medication. Tylenol can be devastating to heart conditions, can even perpetuate potential heart conditions and heart attacks. We become dependent on those things. And if those aren't enough, well, then we have to get things that are stronger, that are addictive. And yet, what you're saying is that, well, you know what? Stretching, strengthening. Folks, it's free. And, boom, there it is. And then there can be some hope there. Why aren't we hearing about this? What the heck?
It's everybody talks about stretching, right? Oh, I have to stretch more. But it also is stretching the right muscles. And that's where, yes, where my book comes into play and my courses and working with someone like me comes into play. Because if you're already stretching a muscle that's overstretched and you say, oh, it feels good to bend down and touch my toes after I've been sitting. Well, guess what? Your hamstrings, your glutes are already over lengthened because you're sitting in that position. So when you continue to stretch that muscle, you're just exacerbating a problem that's already been there for the past few years, you know, if you think about it. So we have to also strengthen to get your stability and work with your posture. And then that also helps your pain. I work with clients that say, oh, my shoulder, it hurts right in here, or it hurts right up in here behind my neck and into my trapezius muscles. And so there's a couple different ways we can attack that because everything is interconnected. So if one part of your body is pulled out of whack, then the rest of your body has to compensate for lack of mobility, flexibility, or strength in that other area. And then that's when a lot of the pain comes in because your muscles are doing the jobs that they're not meant to do.
Right. So as what you're saying is that those things that we are feeling, we don't really have to feel that way. I mean, if you have a broken leg, you're going to hurt, but you will heal. The fact that I feel stiff and achy and so moving is kind of hard and I can't run anymore. Those kind of things that we just take for granted that we're just getting older and we start to hunch a little bit more and we start to look and feel our age. Those things can actually be reversed.
To an extent they can. Obviously, okay. The decline of nature is going to be there. Cognitive decline.
Well, I am not going to play. I'm not going to play sports like I did when I was in my 20s. Okay.
Correct.
Cool.
Correct.
So don't want to give me false hope, right?
No. So
again, no NFL career for me. I get it. All right. Fine.
Maybe not. Maybe you graduated to the coach or the water boy. But. We can still go out there and be active. And the more we are active, the better we feel again. And we can reverse some of those side effects of aging and sitting down by enjoyment, you know, and getting our muscles to work properly. I think it all goes back to happiness, right? Especially as we're aging. You're right. It's not about how much can I lift? How fast can I run? And of course, I'm a dude, so I'm always thinking, man, I wish I could lift a little bit more. But I do understand that. And I'm working with a client now and retraining him. He wanted to do powerlifting. He's got a couple years older than me. But by retraining him a little bit and he's sitting down all day working on some of his imbalances, he's actually having more fun working out. He's told me, man, your workouts are a lot harder than even when I was trying to do powerlifting. Because now he's just more athletic. And that's why my book is called The Athlete in the Game of Life. So that he can go out and he wants to run, he wants to hike with his family, he wants to do things that are just more physically active and more enjoyment besides trying to deadlift. And his form was horrible until I pointed out to him. So he was really a back injury, just one lift away.
Oh.
So it really is important. Yeah, so it really is important to get your muscles working properly and then go out and have fun with your tennis. You know, I'm a weekend golfer. I do question my insanity every time I come back home from it, But that's any golfers out there will realize and shake your head and say, yes, yes, Matt, it's just effing golf. I get it. So, but getting ourselves in tune, getting our minds in tune, our bodies and our minds in tune with each other, we just want to have a better time. And if we can do that for longer periods and increase our endurance and like our stamina, then we can have fun.
I like it. But the whole idea that we have to just give in to age or be dependent on medicine and pharmaceuticals, you know, you see people well into their 70s and 80s that are going strong. How much of that is genetics and how much of that is good choices? Because there's people in their 20s and 30s listening that are saying, yeah, I'm kind of feeling like an old man right now, you know? So if there's hope for grandpa, there's hope for a grandson.
Yeah, absolutely. It is lifestyle. And this is going to be maybe a controversial statement, but you know, skin color also does not dictate what your health conditions are. And I know there's a lot of it out there. It's lifestyle. It's what is your physical activity? What are you putting into your mouth and chewing on every day? Mm-hmm. That determines your risk factors. It's not the color of your skin. It's not specifically your age. It's what are you doing voluntarily to yourself? You know, remember, you're the one that gets your butt up out of bed and puts your 2 feet on the floor and then walks to the bathroom and then starts your day. So what are you doing with that day? And we can combat those signs of aging by being just a little bit more active and cognate, you know, I can't think of the word, whatever I'm trying to say, but, you know, just conscious, that's the word, starting with a C, O and some consonants and vowels right after that. Words become sentences, sentences become paragraphs. So by being conscious of what you're doing, then you can make better choices and then you can feel better about yourself and you can slow down those signs of aging. And I have clients all the time that are in their 70s and even 80 coming to me and just helping them get a little bit more active. Like one guy loves to ride motorcycles. He's 80 years old. His top two favorite hobbies are drinking bourbon and riding his motorcycle. Fabulous. No problem. But let's work your balance. Let's work your strength. So you can go out and ride a little bit more. Maybe yeah. You can have an extra shot of bourbon and it won't hurt you as bad. So those types of things.
True story, I teach dance classes. So I teach belly dance. And I had a class and a woman in a walker, 102 years old, came into the class, right? She's in a walker, but she uses it for stability because she wants to be real careful. Yeah, I want to be careful too if I'm 102 years old. And this was her first dance class. Now, there are classes and there are things that you can do and you modify. And think of this if you're younger and you want to get mom, dad, grandma, and grandpa a little bit more active. Matt can speak to, sometimes you have to modify a little bit as you get a little bit older with certain abilities, and that's what you do. Belly dancing is a dance that's made of, by, and for women teaching other women how to use their bodies, how to deliver babies, how to recover, how to feel beautiful and sensual. It's wonderful, right? And it's for women. This woman, 102 years old, and she's doing kind of a little modified shimmy, right? Adorable. And she came up to me after the class and she said, "Woohoo! That was the most fun. I haven't felt this sexy in 50 years. It was just adorable." And then she became a regular, coming and moving, and that mobility changed. She was able to not really even use the walker so much anymore, except for, you know, just kind of in case. So I say all that to say, you know, wherever you're at, if grandma can do it or great grandma can do it, it can be a hope and a help for all of us. But you had mentioned a guy that you worked with who was maybe just one dumbbell away from serious back pain. I think, and this is something you address too, I think that it's hard for us to tell the difference between it hurts because I'm working new muscles and it hurts because I'm hurting something. And sometimes we think, okay, we got to push through. Oh God, we've got to push through. Can you help us figure out the difference?
I like to think of it as two things. One is it jabbing pain like someone has stabbed you? And for an example, if that's what you're feeling, I mean, stop immediately. That's pain. That's not soreness. Soreness is something that, yes, it's you're a little achy, but you can still move. Everything works properly. It's just a little achy. That'll go away in time. And there's something out there called DOMS, delayed onset muscle soreness. And you work out today, but really it might be the second day or even the third day that you feel it or still feel it. That's natural. Don't call a doctor. Don't load up on pain pills. Don't go to physical therapy. You don't need it. That's your body's natural healing process. And depending on how hard you worked out, or maybe you haven't done those movements or activities in a long time.
And those muscles are just waking up and going, what are you doing?
Exactly,
we really like just kind of hanging out, watching, binge watching Netflix. What's going on here?
Exactly. So you got to break them in a little slower than just going out and playing that full soccer game against you and your kids. And then that's when you come back and go, oh, Jesus, why did I do this? I can't even move. Right. So that's okay. Don't call 911. I promise you'll be fine. Rub a little dirt on it. You'll be sore a couple days, and then you get back into the game. You know, here's a little slap on the ass, and away you go. So know that difference, and know what your body's telling you. If you are working out a lot, and you are feeling fatigued, and you are tired, take a day off. That won't kill you either. There's the one side of inactivity, then there's the one side of people, like, I have to go all out every day, 7 days of the week in the gym. Why? Why? I mean, are you training to be an Olympic athlete, or are you in the NFL? Chances are no. Look at me, for example. 4 days a week, max. 4 days a week in the gym. I probably don't lift for any more than an hour, then I'm bored. Like, I got things to do.
Oh my gosh, there's hope for us that have, like, ADD, ADHD, right?
Yeah. I can't spend 2.5, 3 hours staying in the gym, and then they're talking, and they're doing one set at a time, and then someone else. Ridiculous, drives me nuts. I'm in better shape, I get a better workout, and I spend half the time than they do in the gym. And they go, wow, I can't seem to figure it out. Shut your mouth. You might be able to figure it out a little bit more and actually go to work.
Okay.
So, you know, that it can get done, and you don't need to spend hours and hours doing it.
What about stiffness too? You know, that's something as people get older, are my muscles sore because I'm moving them, or is it stiff because of some kind of arthritis, or, you know, some of the stiffness that comes with aging?
If you're feeling things in your bones and in your joints, not necessarily in your muscles, but you're feeling your joints, and it is, you think it's more than soreness, obviously go to the doctor. It may be arthritis. I can't diagnose that. Only a doctor can diagnose that. Okay. There's not a cure for it.
But I guess my question is,
does help?
It does. That's my question. So if I'm stretching and strengthening, that can help. There are a lot of, and we will talk about it on this program, a lot of natural remedies and even cures, believe it or not, for certain types of arthritis. And I'm an example. I was nearly crippled in my 20s from rheumatoid arthritis that's hereditary in my family. We're going to be talking in the next few months, so keep listening, about apitherapy. It's a biotherapy. It's from bee stings, essentially. Shots from bee stings that absolutely 100% took all of my symptoms. And that's great. So there are some natural things, but if you can also strengthen and stretch and offset some of those twinges, it makes a world of difference. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that for some of the effects of aging. Let's get into the nitty gritty. We've talked about how important it is, but you know what, if we don't get to the meat of the matter, the thing I hate about recipes online, they have this big, long, and I ate it when I was a kid, and I love, you know, and you're like, just give me the recipe, okay? So I wanted to get to some of the recipe, Matt, of some of the things that you recommend for people who are stiff, people who haven't used their muscles, people who are aging a bit. There are some things that you start with, and I know you have five kinetic checkpoints of the body that that you specifically hone in on? Ankles, knees, lumbopelvic hip complex. That's the, right. Yeah. There, you know, you, yeah. Your spine, your head, shoulders. I'm trying to do this from memory and impress
right, what's
you.
What's that song? What does the song go?
Head and shoulders, knees and toes. Okay. That's all I need.
So
okay.
We're just kind of going the opposite way. We're going from the, in that I talk about from the ground up because okay. That's what makes contact first, you know, with the ground. And that really is where kind of the foundation starts. So it does start with your ankle mobility and make sure your calves are stretched properly. Calves are probably the muscles that end up to get tight the easiest and we feel the most and are also the simplest to stretch. On the flip side, that's the shin muscles there, or technically the anterior tibialis that gets weak. So how do things like, how do your calf muscles get tight, for example? Well, if you overuse, especially, and we'll go back to the ladies' shoes and high heels. So if your foot is like this, right? So yeah. Your toes are pointed down, yeah. Then that shortens your calf muscle. And so that's going to create tightness. And same thing even in men's shoes, if you're a little bit elevated. How do you get things like shin splints? Well, one, if your calves are so tight, that also can lead to things like an Achilles injury and tendinopathy and tendonitis down there in your ankles. Shin splints happen from that same type of phenomenon, or if you just have bad shoes, right? If you're running shoes that are old or really not meant for running and they don't kind of match your arch, that's when your shins are going to get hurt. You have shin splints. And kind of moving up to your knees are like the messenger, right? They're not necessarily the ones that have any injuries, but they're the messenger. And they're the ones that feel pain because you have maybe your ankles are messed up. You don't have mobility in your ankles, or same thing with your hips. So now your knees maybe go in, or maybe they start to turn out, which then affects other types of balance and then other types of pain in your hips. And then your hips and your low back obviously is where the brunt of people say, oh, my back hurts, my back hurts, my back hurts.
Yes.
And when we have a lot of tightness in our lower body and we can't squat down properly to pick things up, then we have those back injuries. And then those back injuries do linger on as we age. And you see people that are kind of hunched over and maybe they did have a back injury that never really healed properly. So we do need to strengthen that lower back and strengthen the abdominals on the front. That's really your core. Your core is just not your six pack. It's a 360-degree, you know, area of your upper
body. We don't think about it that way, do we?
No, we just think, oh, I got to get my core. I can't tell you how many people say, I need to get some exercises to work on this. And I say, how about the first one is push? What's that? It's called push your ass away from the table. Then you can really kind of work on that because that's your body fat. So you can do strength and exercises all day. You're not going to see anything as long as you have a nice sheath on top of it. But your core does wrap all the way around you. So your lower back is just as much important as your abdominals.
Wow. And then we work our way up to shoulders,
up to our thoracic spine, right? And then our shoulders, and then into our head, and then into our neck area. So any little injury or something that hasn't healed properly, or you're constantly doing one motion and pulls one area, again, the rest of the body just has to compensate. And as we age, that compensation just kind of gets worse as our natural decline, you know, we get weakened and we kind of shrink. Well, we have to fight that. So we really have to strengthen our core mobility. We have to work on our shoulders and keeping our shoulders back a little bit more, standing up taller, keeping our head in good alignment with so that our ears are in line with our shoulders. And those things overall will then help us just feel better.
Sweet. And, you know, Matt's going to give us a couple of tips. His book, I know a lot of you have already picked it up. Friends of mine and people who have, you know, just emailed and said, hey, I like this, you know, and they've said they've appreciated your book. So I know that there are some folks out there because it really is helping. And you make it really easy because you can have something like this that just sits mm-hmm. literally sits by my studio right here so that I can use it sometimes even sitting, but just get my little hiney out of the chair and get up and actually use this. Using a, you say just, you know, having a, a resistance band, having a couple of dumbbells. They're inexpensive. You can pick them up, you know, and there are things that you can utilize. You even teach us how to utilize a freaking wall to, you know, to stretch and strengthen. So it doesn't cost a big, for a big membership at a gym or, you know, a lot of equipment at the house. I don't need to get a Bowflex or something in my garage. You say you can right. do it easily with what you have.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if you are working out like I do, I implement a lot of these strategies and a lot of these stretches and smaller exercises into my normal routine or into my warm up or into my cool down. I don't sacrifice what I'm doing. So for those people who say, well, I can't do that. That's going to take away from my squat, or my deadlift, or my bench press, or what have you. It's not. It's going to enhance it. It's going to help you more because you can increase your mobility and actually use the muscles you're supposed to when you do your exercises that are out in the gym. You don't have to rely upon your quadriceps. You can use your glutes. Guess what? Your butt's the biggest muscle in your body. And not just maybe because
it
looks big.
Hey, watch it.
Because it
actually wait a
is.
Minute. What do you call? What did you just call my butt big? What the heck?
Yeah. So when you learn to use your butt in everything that you do in lifting, then you're going to be a lot stronger. You're actually going to take away some knee pain because now your quadriceps aren't forced to do all the work, which then puts a lot of pressure onto your knees. But when you learn to use your glutes in any type of pushing or standing up activity, then it also helps with your posture. So you got to learn how to incorporate that. The unfortunate part is as we sit on it, instead of using it in our lifting, then that's really the cause of a lot of injuries.
All right. So can you give us just a couple of things that we can start with to maybe just run down, if you can, five different things that we can do to start with for each one of these zones, if we have the time. Otherwise, just start with the most important.
Okay, I'll just start with a couple. We'll start with the ankles. So stretch your calf muscles. All right, number one, you can stand next to a wall, put your foot up at an angle as high as you can, point your toes up, and just lean into that wall so you feel that stretch in your calf. How do you strengthen your anterior tibialis or your shin muscle? Pretend that you have flippers on and you're going to walk and you're going to point your toe up as high as you can so that your heel touches on every single step and you're really pointing that toe up. Okay. That's a great combination for that. How can we work a little bit for our knees, which could then help with our knees? Well, let's stretch our quadriceps and our hip flexors. So you can do a runner's lunge stretch, or you can just stand and do the runner stretch where you just grab your ankle and then pull your leg so it's in line with the other one. We can work on our glutes by doing something called a bird dog. So you're going to get on your hands and your knees. You're going to extend an opposite arm and an opposite leg so that your toe is pointing down. And you're just going to raise them both at the same time. So you're going to feel it in the back of your shoulder and learn to feel it in your butt. By getting that activated, then you can go do your squats and your lunges and deadlifts a lot more effectively. Plus it stretches your hip flexors. Going up to our shoulders and thoracic, let's stretch out our chest. So let's put that arm at an L on the corner of a wall, lean forward.
Oh, that feels good too.
All right.
Stretch in the morning. Pectoral. Oh, that feels so good in the morning. You gave that tip to me a long time ago. I do it every morning. Love that.
Yeah, that's a great one for that. And then how do we get our shoulder blades back? We can do a couple things. We can put our arms out here at an L, kind of like we're flexing, but not really. Palms pointed forward. And let's just rotate our arms down and up. So you can do that while you're sitting. That works the rotator cuff. It also works to bring your head back in alignment. You can just put your hands out in front of you and also just bring those back and squeeze those shoulder blades. That helps to keep you in alignment. As far as for your neck, you can kind of stretch your trapezius muscles. You can bring your head to one side and just stretch it. Put the other arm out straight and get a good stretch on your neck. Same thing on the other side. You can also do that wall angel, which I talked about, which some people call the crucifixion because it feels like it. You can stand back flat against the wall, head against the wall. Start with your arms all the way up and then slowly keeping your head and heels against that wall, bring your arms down so they're at a 90 degree and you're going to feel that some like pulling your spine and the back of your head. And you can do that a few times and that's a great way, again, to help with your posture.
These are great ways that you can turn back the hands of time and feel better, because I don't know what the heck we've done to ourselves, thinking that, you know, we all stay inside, don't leave. Oh my gosh. And you know what? I know folks, you got to do you. You got to do you. So don't take this the wrong way, but Matt, I am at Green Lake this weekend. Gorgeous, gorgeous weekend. I'm sitting down watching a softball game. Everybody on the field has masks on, and you could see that there were some people that they're struggling to just breathe. You know, getting that fresh air. I know you got to do you. I know you got to, if that's what you need to feel safe, don't let me dissuade you. But I am saying that between, you know, avoiding people and staying inside, and sometimes for some of us, if you're wearing this, you can't breathe when you're just walking across the room, you know, and to actually exercise with it feels like you're going to suffocate, right? And don't feel bad. That's not necessarily you're just out of shape. That's just, you know, it's hard to breathe with those darn things
on,
right?
Restricting your airflow. You know, like you said, Michelle, be smart about what you're doing. If you're even the guidelines out there say if you're 3 to 6 feet, you know, because supposedly kids can be 3 feet, adults 6 feet. I don't know why. Again, we won't go too politically into it. But you can take the damn thing off. I mean, if you're outside, the wind's blowing around. So I don't get it. I mean, that's an extreme. So I always teach moderation. Right? Let's just be moderate about things and not extreme. And you might have a little bit more enjoyment.
Yeah, and I think that we are experiencing the aftermath of what happens when you close down for so long. Whether you think it's a good idea or not, that's our reality. And this is why we're doing this show today, because we need to get our bodies moving again. We need to, if we don't, then it does, Matt, it kind of declines and it gets worse and worse. We're stiffer and stiffer. Our muscles go into
atrophy.
For a living.
atrophy.
Thank you.
And it's 60 days, people. 60 days. What do I mean by that? 60 days to start a habit. Good, bad, and different. Start or break a habit, it takes 60 days. So you're right. So if you're used to, you're wearing 17 masks for the last 95 days, well, it's got to start a new habit, right? So maybe instead of wearing 17 masks, you wear 6 masks, whatever. but it takes time. So you've been brainwashed into it. Now you got to figure out a way to get brainwashed out of it.
Yeah. So maybe what we can do is let this be a start of the 60 days that we're going to take back our lives and become an athlete in the game of life. You know, that may not mean that I'm going to be playing for the NFL, but I do know that I can be a winner in my own life. This is the only one I got. I'm going to make the most of it. I want to be able to, I love skiing and fishing and playing outside, kayaking. I want to be able to do that as I get older. And I want to be able to turn back some of the effects of sitting here talking to people like you every day.
Right.
Matt Peel is the author of the book. It's right here. Ah, yeah. Hold on. Don't go anywhere, everyone. It's this book right here. Yeah, I keep it close by. It's great. Look, it's not real big. So this isn't a big commitment of, you know, it's just, you can sit down, you can read this in a day and it can change you. It can really, really help. You also have classes too, which I started taking online, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And if you go to mymichellelive.com, you can actually sign up for that class. I think it's on your website, isn't it?
It is on my website. So we'll have all the links there so you can sign up for the classes, and it can help you to turn back pain, chronic pain, and the effects of aging. So we can give you a little taste here, but you can always see more. Thanks so much, Matt, for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yay. Are you all happy as you just listen? I mean, you're thinking, okay, there's hope. There's absolutely hope out there.
Absolutely, right. There's hope.
Transform his jungle into your tropical paradise. Tropical Beard Balm.
From Real Bearded Men at MyMichelleLie.com.
Don't stand too close. She may put out your eye with a gleam of her smile. Here's Michelle.
Hey, what if I could help you feel, look, and live your life younger, more vibrant? That's what it's all about on this Health Watch Wednesday. Excuse me. Now, maybe next week, as I cough, we can talk about those allergies. It's allergy season. But first, let's just look, feel, and live a little bit younger, right? We had some help from our fitness guru, Matt Peel. We are going to be talking in a moment how your smile can give you a younger look, and how oral health can actually turn back the clock as well. But if you want a real fountain of youth, almost daily I talk about Calitrin, and they use it as a weight loss support formula. It's basically collagen. Collagen depletes from our body from the time we're teenagers. That's what contributes to us looking so much older, or kind of gout, or our skin being saggy, and feeling tired, confusion, and a lot of the aches and pains that go along with aging. Well, Calitrin is amazing in that it works into your system. It's easy to absorb, and it turns back the clock. I'm not kidding. Hair, skin, nails, all of the things that are on the outside that give away your age can be reversed, or we should at least say downplayed. Your skin becomes more youthful, plump. Your hair becomes less of that fly away, dry, falling out kind of a thing. But that's on the outside, and that's great to look younger. What collagen does is it also, on the inside, it gives you clarity of mind, helps you to sleep, helps to alleviate some of the aches and pains. Men, when you get that pooch in the middle, some of that's because of aging. You take Calitrin and it helps you to lose weight nicely, slowly, and naturally. So I say that as we talk about anti-aging, because this is my anti-aging secret. If you are one of those folks that email and say, "What? How old are you? How do you look like you do? So vibrant, and you're nonstop." Well, that's because I'm feeding my body what it needs to stay youthful, to stay vibrant. You can get collagen anywhere at health food stores. Go natural. If you're not doing Calitrin, go natural. Get something that's easy to absorb. Calitrin can come in powder, or it can come in caplets. I recommend, though, if you get Calitrin, there are crazy amazing deals that Calitrin will have, and you can use our promo code MyMichelleLive to get the best deals. That's really the cheapest way to go, and I'll tell you what, I think you'll love it. If not, let me know. I know that they have some money-back guarantees, and I would love to hear your success story, not just mine. And on this Health Watch Wednesday, it's all about that looking good, feeling great. But sometimes we do it at such a cost. There are so many differing ways that maybe in the attempt to look better, feel better, and brighten our smile, we are doing damage that you may not even know about. Dr. Nami Patel joins us today. She is in a practice, in fact, operates the practice called Green Dentistry. I like the name already, and she's the author of Age with Style, Your Guide to a Youthful Smile and Healthy Living. Doctor, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, delighted to be here, Michelle. Thank you for having me.
There are a host of things that we do not even think about when we are trying to get that bright smile. And yet, there are a lot of things that we also don't think about that I'd like to ask you about first on how our oral health ties into so many other things.
One of the most important things, Michelle, people forget about is your mouth is a window to your body. It is the beginning of your gut, and it is linked to so many things. For example, Alzheimer's, the same bacteria that your gums are associated with gum disease are known to cause Alzheimer's. Also, hormones. They create a havoc in your system. Anytime there's a thyroid dysfunction, anytime there is any pregnancy hormones, it makes the bacteria in the gums overgrow and cause a huge havoc. The last thing is also your immunity. Your immune system is the same. Saliva has this thing called secretory IgA, which is an immunoglobulin that actually fights off bad bacteria and viruses. So it is one of the things that are actually exist in saliva, and if your body is fighting bacteria in the mouth, it doesn't really have the resources to be able to fight off infections and bacteria that exist everywhere else. So the three things I would say are the mouth is a window to your body. It is linked to everything else, starting from, you know, being able to chew, but your hormones, to the way you feel, and the way that you live longer because you chew this really leafy green ingredients and lettuces and kale. We are all kale happy. And that really helps absorb all the nutrients we need in order to live a longer, richer, joyful life.
That's so good to remind us because in our all we want to do is look good society, we forget that it's not just about having a happy, bright smile, but the oral health that we provide our body can help us in so many other ways. But talking with you and getting a healthy smile, there are a lot of things that, in a lot of ways, that we poison ourselves just trying to look a little bit better. And that is no exception when it comes to our mouth.
Absolutely. The most, you know, one of the things I always share, Michelle, is that we can look good and feel good. The thing that we want to keep in mind is looking good naturally. What can we do to keep our natural teeth? What can we do to whiten our natural enamel so that we can get that? Because everyone wants to smile. It's our love language. A bright smile boosts our confidence. We feel much better about ourselves. It's, when we smile at somebody, we give them that affection and saying, I'm safe to approach. I want to connect with you. So it absolutely is really, really important. But it's much better to keep your natural teeth. For example, if there was crooked teeth, instead of putting 6 to 10 veneers on those teeth, you're better off straightening the teeth and then bleaching it naturally with peroxide, which will give you the same result. It takes a little bit longer, but it's so much better for you long term because you're ending that cycle of drill and fill.
That's really interesting that it seems like everything that is good for us health-wise takes a little bit longer, and we're such an instant result society. But when it comes to losing weight, when it comes to building our immune system, when it comes to, it would seem, whitening our teeth and making our oral health healthy, it seems like it is a process as well. There isn't a quick fix, and we shouldn't rely on that because it's more of a lifestyle. Change your lifestyle, change your life.
Yes, absolutely. And everything does take time because it's like growing a plant. When you take the soil, you got to make sure the soil's in good place and it's healthy. Then you plant a seed, then you've got to water it. And then that's when you get the fruits of your labor in a few months. When it comes to teeth, it takes time because it's microbiology. We're changing, from gum disease to health. We're going from a swamp to a pond. Those things are going to take time. Getting your natural teeth to look, become straighter is going to take time. But it is time well worth invested and also a cost that you have saved. Because if you end up doing veneers, they need to get replaced every 10 years or so. So it's just getting all that work done over and over and over again, which is problematic.
Health Watch Wednesday, if you're just joining us, and we try to give you options that are the least invasive, the most healthy, and the most natural. And we're talking with Dr. Nami Patel. She is the author of Age with Style, Your Guide to a Youthful Smile and Healthy Living. Doctor, there's a couple of things I wanted to take on. One is we tend to really fluoride our water, and too much fluoride can not only be damaging to your teeth, but also to other parts of your body, from what I understand. What are your thoughts?
You know, that is absolutely correct. So fluoride has definitely many concerns. The first one, if it's taken in a pill form, which was given to children a lot to help prevent decay, and what that does, it causes brittle bones, which is a huge concern. And in adults, a concern with fluoride is that it can, especially when somebody has a thyroid dysfunction, yeah, hyper or hyperthyroidism, it actually inhibits the function of the hormone in itself and it makes it even worse. So that's the reason why fluoride
And yet it's in our water. You go to the tap and you think, drink lots of water, it's healthy for you. And we really, in a lot of cases, have just really dumped a lot of fluoride into our water and into our system. You can get, when you buy bottled water, you can go online and find a list of waters that are not fluorinated. And that might be good too, especially if you have a thyroid issue. But then we have it in our toothpaste. But it's not just the fluoride that's in our toothpaste. There's a whole lot of chemicals. When you read the back of that, it's almost scary.
It absolutely is. There is FD and DC dye, which is made from coal tar. And it can cause ADHD in children. That is super scary. There's pesticides in there. And it's interesting. I was watching Dr. Hyman's episode this morning, and it's about the food pharmacy and really all the chemicals that are in our cabinets. It's really scary because the FDA, the way they work is they'll put out products first, then go ahead and test them later, and we find out there's all these problems with it versus doing it right the first time. And that's the methodology that I always like to approach. Instead of, you know, going in fast, slow down to speed up, know the ingredients, know what's going in the, you know, in your mouth and your body and the food, and then test it out. And take it for, you know, see if you like it or not. But that's the best way to go about it, is to slow down to speed up. Know the ingredients that go inside your mouth. Know the ingredients that go inside your body.
Let's talk about some of those ingredients and what some alternatives might be. Because when we think of oral health, and as you had mentioned, as we talked with Dr. Nami Patel, author of a great book, Age with Style, Your Guide to a Youthful Smile and Healthy Living. You said that our mouth is kind of a window into our gut and the rest of our body. It's what lets things in, right? So if we are, it seems in a lot of ways, we're poisoning ourselves in so many differing directions, from what we put on our bodies to what we eat and even our toothpaste. What are some alternatives?
So my favorite things for alternatives for toothpaste is make your own. There, you can use 5 easy ingredients, and it will work really well.
Really?
My favorite is coconut oil.
Okay.
Because it actually is, I'm sure you've heard of oil pulling.
Yes.
But, you know, you can take a little amount of coconut oil, put a little bit of flour of pumice in it, which will give you that whitening effect. And then also to freshen the breath, you can add, my favorite are peppermint oil.
Mm-hmm.
And then also On Guard oil. On Guard is from a company called doTERRA. I love the product because it's made with cinnamon and cardamom. Our phytochemicals are just so good for us. So I absolutely love making the toothpaste on my own and just using it. It's quick, it's easy, it's convenient, cost-effective.
And really, because you can buy natural toothpaste, Tom's is one of my favorites, but they can be expensive, and these are fairly easy to make. And when you're dealing with essential oils, they're wonderful. I mean, they're plant-based. When you get therapeutic grade, they have such small molecules that they work their way into your system so well. They can really help in healing. It's just a fabulous thing. So, yeah, a wonderful alternative. And there's a lot more information in your book, Age with Style, Your Guide to Youthful Smile and Healthy Living. Finally, I wanted to take on straightening. How important is that? And in some of the other oral surgeries, surgeries that folks can get involved with. What's necessary, what's not, and what should we know?
So the two most things that are absolutely necessary and I find to be the most critical in patients, number one, are gum cleanings. Because as we age, there are two things that are, we're designed to disintegrate. We're designed to die, and that's the reality of life. Our bone deteriorates, which means that there's a lot of more bacteria. Our immune response deteriorates over time. Again, just making us more prone to a lot of diseases. So the first thing I always recommend for my patients, just like the vital signs, when you go in, there's blood pressure, your heart rate. When you come into the dental office or when you come into my practice, the first thing I look at is your gums and your bite. So the gums, making sure they're healthy, there's no bleeding, is the number one sign of health, and that's what we look for. If there is bleeding, I recommend like a deep cleaning with laser to disinfect and make sure there's no snake-like bacteria that are linked to Alzheimer's in your gums. So that's number one. The second is going to be the bite. Now, having a healthy bite is the most important thing because it will make your restorations last longer, number one. You will look good. You'll also avoid chipping and cracking of teeth. So the proper tooth function is restored, and it really saves thousands of dollars worth of dentistry and dental pain in the future.
That's good to know. Very good to know. Especially because we can spend so much money doing it right and making sure we have long-term effects is wonderful. And keeping that smile beautiful for as long as possible, it does help us to look younger, to have that youthful smile and to have that healthy glow. I'll give you the final word.
You may edit this portion. You know, I would say, you can absolutely look good, feel good, make sure that you can chew properly, be comfortable for a lifetime. And the best way to do that is by being preventative and being well educated in the processes and really approaching your mouth as a part of your body. It is the beginning of your gut. It is the other end, is what I like to say.
Well put, and thank you for putting a lot of this great information into book form. This is stuff that a lot of people may not know and may not readily have available at their fingertips, but you will now. We have been talking with Dr. Nami Patel, the author of Age with Style, Your Guide to a Youthful Smile and Healthy Living. She also operates a practice called Green Dentistry. I love what you do. I've loved having you on. Come back again, won't you?
I would love that.
Hey, thanks for being part of the My Michelle Live podcast today on this Health Watch Wednesday. I hope you're looking and feeling and living your best. You know, I'll give you one more secret that keeps me as vibrant as I may be, and that is a relationship with God. It keeps me from being jaded. It keeps me from being resentful for walking in unforgiveness and all of the things that really do age you, body, soul, and spirit. And to me, that is the God story today. If you liked anything that you heard, awesome. Like us, please share us, and please comment. It really does help us to grow. If you'd like to help us to grow even more, go to mymichellelive.com. You can donate. You can purchase some of the products from our affiliates, and they will give us a kickback, and that's how we keep on the air. And if you don't like what you hear, email me. Tell me why. Give us suggestions. We appreciate you. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you tomorrow.
More Health Watch at MyMichelleLive.com.